It was 3rd and 2 from the Ravens' 47-yard line. And we threw a pass 20 yards downfield. Wasn't even close. Then punted. And naturally, it was a touchback. Net 27 yards. Took the Ravens 4 plays to cross the point that they would have gotten the ball even if the Bucs had gone for it and missed. Never mind the possibility they would have made it and maybe scored after that. But that's not the way our franchise behaves anymore. That's not the way our coaching staff thinks anymore. That's not the mentality we have anymore. And here we are for another edition of the Free Stretch, post-Week 8 edition, 3-5 edition, as the Bucs fall to the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. And I'm sitting here this morning, and you know when they have these Thursday night games is when I can do a post-game react show, which the Free Stretch rarely is because we always do it later in the week when we've had a few days to marinate and we're kind of then looking ahead to the next game and we've had some time to maybe, I guess, balance ourselves is the best way I can put it. Kind of get centered so we don't come in here and rant and rave. But this one, we're, you know, 12 hours off of it as I'm recording here at 10:30 in the morning. Less than 12 hours ago, Bucks were busy bumbling through the second half. And I'm really upset right now, as all Bucks fans are. I'm going to try today on the show to be very rational. I'm going to try not to overreact. I'm going to try to take a look at things, not just in the prism of last night's game only or even this season, but where the Bucks are as a franchise. I always say, and I always have said since I've been doing this show and even when I was doing radio, you know, these things are never as bad as they seem and they're never as good as they seem. I mean, you know, you always have to stay toward the middle. When it feels like it's the top of the world, it's probably not as great as you think, even if it's pretty good. And when it feels like this, it's not the worst thing ever either. And I would have said that after the Pittsburgh game. I did say that after the Pittsburgh game. I didn't get a chance to really react to the Carolina game because I waited to do the show till today since we had the Baltimore game on a Thursday. But, you know, I don't like to make bold, sweeping, declarative statements too early. I never want to be the guy. I never want to be the guy who, like, overreacts. This is kind of what I've prided myself on doing radio all these years and now doing this podcast. I never want to be one of those guys that just says stuff to get a reaction. I never want a guy that makes a bold declaration about something only to be proven wrong like 3 weeks later because it was way too early to say that in the first place. And you see it all the time. Like, people, you know, we always want to go off of what we have. So a football season, in this case, is 17 games now. So after 3, 4, 5, even 8 games, you know, a lot of things look completely differently than they do after 16, 15, 17, whatever it is, games. You know, you got to let things play out. And that's true in football. It's true in hockey and baseball and basketball, too. But I feel pretty comfortable saying now that Todd Bowles is not a good head coach. I'm always an optimistic person. When Bruce Arians decided to step down and Todd Bowles immediately was named as the new head coach, it was like, okay, hey, continuity. You know, Arians thought this was the right time. He was going to step down anyway. He wanted to leave Bowles with a good situation, blah, 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 blah. Didn't feel like it was going to make that big of a difference because I didn't want to feel like it was going to make that big of a difference. And I like Todd. I mean, I don't dislike Todd Bowles. And I am not saying today, I mean, we got a lot of things to get to today, okay? Before we, not just Todd Bowles, but I'm not saying that if Bruce Arians was still the head coach of the Bucs that everything would be fine. We'd be, you know, 6-2, well on our way to the NFC South division title, and, you know, a top 2 or 3 seed in the NFC playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. The Bucs have issues that are not all the coaching's fault. But philosophically, watching the way this offense operates, watching the decisions that get made and the way they get made, watching this team try to win with dungy ball and being unable to do it, and just the general way this team carries itself now, it's like night and day. And I think it all flows from the top. And I really think of all the law, we talk about Ali Marpet, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, any number of other injuries you want to talk about here and there in places like that. The biggest loss was Bruce Arians and the mentality, the philosophical approach to football that has changed from him to Todd Bowles. And that's why I opened the show just now with that. I mean, the game last night had a million things, like every game does, that happen. But it's 3rd and 2 from the Ravens 47. It's a 10-10 game. Everything's fine. It was 10-3. The Ravens had just scored. The Bucs have punted at this point. I think it was 2 or 3 times in a row. They would go on to punt 5 times in a row in the second and third quarter in what was the deciding stretch of the game. But on 3rd and 2 from the plus 47, this is a perfect example of mentality. A good head coach and offensive coordinator with the right mentality is thinking, okay, we're clearly going for this on 4th down, so we can treat this more like it's 2nd and 2. We can call any play we want. Hell, we can even run the ball if we want to. It's not a do-or-die play because we're going to go for it. So call whatever you want. And even then, fine, if you want to go downfield like they did. Like, when they did that, I was like, huh, they definitely are going for this because they wouldn't have thrown such a low percentage pass on 3rd and 2 if they were punting. And then I saw the punt unit start trotting out onto the field, and I almost fell out of my – I was actually standing up, but I almost fell – I couldn't believe it. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, a solid, sound, philosophical approach there. Hey, let's just get the 2 yards right here. But hey, if we're going to go for it on 4th and 2, we can try some things on 3rd and 2, no big deal. And then maybe we'll get it, or maybe we'll run the ball and get a yard and still make it easier, or maybe we'll just get it outright. And even if we don't, we're going for it on 4th and 2, no big deal. To call and try that play on 3rd and 2, knowing, which we didn't all know, but they knew, knowing in your mind, if you don't get it, yeah, we're going to punt this away. And Kamara hits it in the end. Kamara had a decent night, but Kamara hits that one in the end zone. They net 27 yards. I mean, and it was still 10-10 when that happened, but I can't tell you, and I'm not a player on the Buccaneers, so I don't know what it's like for them. As a fan, and I was there at the game. I actually got lucky that a friend of mine had 2 extra tickets. I was not planning to go. But anyway, I was there at the game, and I don't want to be too dramatic here. I felt like I got punched in the stomach as a Bucs fan because right then and there, and the Bucs were still in the game. They could have won the game, but right then and there, it just, I felt hope. That was the moment I gave up on Bowles. And it's not just that one play. In fact, I retweeted a graphic. If you look at what, here it is right here. Yeah, so win percentage, or excuse me, not win percentage, win probability per game lost by 4th down decisions and kicking and go situations. Okay, 2022. Ben Baldwin's a good guy on Twitter to follow. He's a really good follow for like 4th down analytics and, when you should go, when you should kick. The Bucs gave away last night, and you can scoff at these numbers all you want, but you're a fool if you ignore this stuff, okay? In that exact spot, tie game, 4th and 2, Baltimore 47-yard line, 3rd quarter, 7:05 to play. It takes into account everything. Your win probability, if you go for it, in that situation is 58%. If you punt, it's 53%. So they willfully gave up 5% in win probability. And these aren't things, just like I always say on this show, and just like I always talk about my little league teams, I tell them these things too. These aren't things the other team can stop you from doing. There are some things where they can stop you and you tried your best, but the other guy beat you and that happened. No. This is self-inflicted, okay? And if you just take that one decision, that's 5%. But if you add up the whole season so far, the Bucs coaching staff is the 5th worst, or 27th out of 32 teams, in win probability per game given away by poor decision-making on 4th down. Okay? And if you look at the graph, and I retweeted it, one team is like the worst. Like, they're even the teams that are, ranked from 31st down to 1st, it's like a gradual little, slope down a hill. The worst team in the league, like it shoots up, it skyrockets. I'll give you a second to guess. It's the Denver Broncos because Nathaniel Hackett is a complete clown show and has no idea what the hell he's doing. So at least Todd Bowles has him beat. But and surprisingly, the Chiefs are the second worst, by the way, on this list. But the Bucs are fifth worst. I'm actually surprised they're as high as they are at 27th. But even more than just, you know, even Bruce Arians, who has an aggressive mindset, we quibbled, I pointed out some situations where he made. It's not just the idea of making a bad fourth down kick or go call. It's the mentality. Like Todd Bowles, I think, was semi-erect at the idea of, hey, maybe we can punt this. Like you could tell he really wanted to punt it. I think he likes kicking field goals. I think he likes punting. I don't really think that, but don't you get that? That's how it feels. And I hate it. And I swear to God, if I'm ever an NFL owner or a college athletic director, which I never will be, but if I ever am, I will never hire a defensive-minded person to be the head coach. They can be defensive coordinators. I want people whose mentality is to score points and aggressively collect points at any stages of the game possible until the game is safely secured, and then you can go ahead and kind of play it look closer to the vest. Once you've got a double-digit lead because you've so aggressively amassed those points earlier in the game. But to absolute hell with this garbage mentality of trying to win every game 16-10, trying to kick more field goals than score touchdowns, and being just fine with it. And I do believe he's just fine with it. I think he'd be, he thinks he can win that way. And he's not the only problem. He's not, okay? I'm going to get to all the things today. But I am absolutely over it. It was a bad hire. It was a mistake. Jets fans, I know a few Jets fan friends, including my neighbor, Mike, and he warned me. A couple of them talked to him. Like, whenever you know you make a hire, and you know, it's one thing to like read the news and stuff, but you talk to people who have had personal rooting interests in this same person in the past, and that's where you get the really good stuff, you know. So I don't need to like read articles. I need to talk to other Jets fans. We hired Todd Bowles, and they were like, "Oh, dude, no." And I was like, "Well, you know, it was a tough situation in New York, the quarterback situation." I was like, "This will be a lot better situation." Try to rationalize. Nope, the chickens are coming home to roost. It's all true, and he's not the guy. All right, and I know, you know, I'm not saying no defensive head coach could ever be a good head coach. There are definitely examples. But I'm personally not interested anymore. I never was. So, that's one thing. And I thought that second, or I thought that situation, that fourth down and two, I thought that if you could take that whole game and distill it down into a sequence, it would be that. But it wasn't just that. Like I said, there were problems on both sides of the ball. The tackling was atrocious. The defense, which did a good job in the first half holding the Ravens to 3 points, gave way in the second half, gave up three big touchdown drives. Ravens had the ball for 33 of the final 45 minutes. So once the second quarter started, the Bucs literally had the ball for 12 more minutes in the final three quarters. But here's what I want to talk about with the defense. And this is the same thing with the Pittsburgh game, and same thing with the Carolina game, and same thing with the Baltimore game, okay? We all see things we don't like. We all want to get off the field on third down when they don't always do it, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? On the list of things wrong, it's way down there, okay? Because this happens over and over. They come out pretty good. They're holding on. They're holding on. They give way. Some of that is second half adjustments. And to the Ravens' credit, and I'm not trying to say the Bucs defense played a good game or anything, but they're doing enough to where we should be able to win most of these games, okay? And when you put your defense on the field with five straight punts, the Bucs had more three and outs in a five possession stretch from the second and third quarters where they punted five times in a row. Three of those were three and outs and two first downs. More three and outs than first downs, and you're on the field over and over and over again. And I'm not making an excuse because there were plenty of chances the Bucs defense had to get off the field. But you can't act surprised when they can't get off the field when the offense can't stay on the field. So yeah, some of it's second half adjustments. But everything comes back to this offense sucking absolute ass, okay? Everything comes back to that. Everything flows out of that. Because the defense has kept them in these games. And I know they got it run down their throats. I know the Ravens helped them too. Part of the reason the defense had success in the first half. Part of the reason the Bucs defense had success against the Ravens in the first half is because the Ravens came out trying to throw it all over the place. And when they finally figured out, hey, we can just run it at will because these guys don't have any run fits. Devin White's an absolute disaster. I mean, I'm not going to just pick on Devin White because, again, there are bigger issues than just him. But he's an absolute disaster. And quite honestly, you know, he's been trading off of the Super Bowl run. And even in the Super Bowl run, you know, he was good. But, like, he's fallen off a cliff the past couple of seasons. And actually, Bowles got on him, which is surprising to see. You know, somebody has to nudge Bowles to tell him to, like, you know, actually come to life a little bit. But that's how bad it is with Devin White. Even Bowles has moved to, like, I mean, he's yelling at Devin White the way I yell at my little leaguers. Not that I should yell at them. But, so, I mean, there's issues. But yeah, the Ravens figured out we don't have to really do anything cute here. And they started to just take complete control. And a lot of that is the defense's fault, but most of it is the offense's fault. So I kept hearing things in the postgame show, the Bucs offense just isn't in sync. It's just they're just off kilter. Dude, that's like for like one game or even one half of one game. When it's this many weeks in a row, they're just bad, okay? Like they're bad. And listen, just like everything else, it starts at the top. Tom Brady has not done a good job of, obviously, producing touchdowns. That is the quarterback's job. Now, there's many reasons for it, but it comes back to the quarterback. He has not been bad. If you look at the numbers, I mean, he's only got one interception in eight games, and that one interception in eight games is the reason why his numbers probably look better, because he's getting rewarded for not turning it over. Clearly, you know, you'd trade a few turnovers if we could score some more points. But, you know, as far as, like, QB rating and all these advanced stat numbers, he actually is still above average. And watching him last night in person, you know, I don't think he's as good as he was, which, let's be honest, I mean, it was going to happen at some point. He's 45. And these things don't happen necessarily instantly. I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes things seem like they're great, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, you fall off a cliff. But sometimes it's a little more subtle. So you watch Brady, and yeah, like he underthrew a couple deep balls. Never used to do that, you know. And they were there. And little things like that. And those are things you would expect, honestly. I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, that's part of having a 45-year-old quarterback. I'd still rather have him than, you know, three-quarters of the other quarterbacks in the league. So that stuff's to be expected. But he also made some really good throws. And I think he's dipped, but not completely collapsed. But you have to think about why Tom Brady came here in the first place. Why did Tom Brady come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, I remember none of us thinking it was going to happen. Why us? We're not the type of place people like Tom Brady come to. But after he came here, it made sense. Of course, they won the Super Bowl in the first year. And I think he came here for three reasons. Three football reasons. All right? One, an aggressive, offensive-minded head coach in Bruce Arians that he thought he could click with. Had that. Don't have that anymore. So that's one thing not on the list. Two, tons of offensive weapons, right? And we still somewhat have that. Although, you know, Chris Godwin's still working his way back. I know he hit the big ball in the first half. He was kind of quiet after that. I ISO'd on him. This is one thing about fantasy football. Like you know, I have him. I'm not a big fantasy football guy, but like I started watching just Godwin because I was like, why the hell? Where has he been since the first half or the first quarter, really? And he's jogging a lot of just a non-factor on a lot of plays. And he was open a couple times, and Brady failed to hit him with bad throws. But he's not all the way back. Like with an injury like his, even when you're back playing, you're still ramping up. I still think. I'm still, you know, bullish on Godwin as the season goes on here. I think he'll continue to produce more. But, again, not quite the same. Antonio Brown was there, now he's not. Rob Gronkowski was here, now he's not. And just, you know, the weapon thing is still somewhat there, but not as much as before. And then three was a standout offensive line, which, I'll say this much. I mean, they don't have the offensive line that Brady signed up for when he came here. But last night, like, the pass protection was actually pretty good, right? Did anybody else feel like there was an issue in pass protection from what we watched? They had three sacks of Brady. They were coverage sacks, all of them. I don't feel like he got overwhelmed on any of them. Or I shouldn't even say coverage sacks. I should say, you know, poorly schemed offensive play sacks, because it wasn't like the coverage was so. There was nobody open. But I think the pass pro overall was pretty good. Nick Leverett, well, there were some good things last night. Nick Leverett, right? I thought a clear upgrade over Gedeky. Don't put Gedeky's ass back in there right now. Leverett, and they might still try and do something and bring somebody in. But in-house, Leverett can maybe stabilize things there. He was fine. I didn't think the offensive line was fine pass protection way. We can't run the ball to save our own life. But I don't think they should. Everybody else is hung up on the running game. I don't think we should even be worried about the running game. The offense needs to be more aggressive. And obviously, look, there's no answers to this. If there are answers, they already be doing it. It's not as simple as, oh, we just need to try harder to go downfield. Although Brady's air yards per target has gone down now literally all eight times. Like, the week one, it was one thing. Down in week two, down from week two to week. It's literally gone down every single week, okay? So the Bucs are throwing short of the sticks. They're not doing anything downfield the way they used to, for whatever reason. But my point going back to Brady is, you know, Brady came here for a reason, or for several reasons, and those conditions don't necessarily exist anymore. And being 45, I mean, again, I'm okay with it. We knew this. This is what we signed up for, okay? I never thought Tom Brady was going to be the greatest quarterback of all time until he was 70 years old. I was willing, and the Bucs were willing, and it's already paid off no matter what happens now, to see that through, and they won the Super Bowl. And I tweeted that last night, like, during, like, the worst part of the game. I was like, hey, you know, they won the Super Bowl. Like, we have to keep that in mind. Like, everything going on now sucks, and we all hate it, and nobody likes being in this situation, but they did win the Super Bowl. Like, that was the whole point of this plan, and it worked. So now, you know, I'm not going to get all dramatic on you guys. I mean, going back to the Panthers game, because that was when it really hit me, like, was the Panthers. Because I thought for sure, you know, the Pittsburgh game, you have games like that sometimes. A game you think you're going to win, you're a big favorite. Oh, my God, this team we're playing against is undermanned. Should be a sure thing. And, whoa, we lost. What the hell happened? And then you realize, well, you know, maybe that was a bad spot. But the Carolina game was the opposite of that. I was sure. I was like, oh, man, coming off this Pittsburgh loss, and Carolina's got this backup QB. I mean, they're in trouble, dude. This is a bad week to play the Bucs, I was thinking. Then that happened, and I never got to do a show after that game. And then I thought again, you know, last night, tougher opponent, but the Bucs should bounce back. So it's bad right now, but I'm not going to get all dramatic or anything. Wait, what's that music? Yeah, I did think I heard this in the background when I was at the Bucs game last night, but I couldn't make it out with all the Ravens fans screaming. But you know what? Cut it off. Cut the music. It's not that bad yet. We're not going that far. Here's what we do have going for us. I'm talking about this strictly from a fan's perspective now, because this is all entertainment, right? The whole point of this is that you want something to get excited for every weekend, something to look forward to during the week. It's a diversion. It's fun, okay? It shouldn't be any more than that. Like, don't, like, let this stuff ruin your life. But what we have is a really bad division, right? So we can amuse ourselves. Just change the records in your head. The Bucs are, pending results this weekend, either going to be tied for the division lead or, you know, like a half game or a game out, depending on Carolina, Atlanta, and all that stuff. So instead of like 3-4 and 2-5 and, you know, 4-5, just change those records in your head to like 6-2, 5-2, 5-3. It's a division race, right? We can amuse ourselves all year long with that, because as bad as things seem for the Bucs right now, the rest of the division is also poor, and they could absolutely still win this division, and you get a home playoff game for that. And I don't think this team, I think it's pretty clear right now, this team is no longer the team it once was, and it's certainly not built to win playoff games if it even gets to the playoffs. So I don't want to say given up, but I've stopped thinking about anything having to do with January. Whereas the last two seasons, even in week 8 or week 6 or even really early, it was always about the big picture, right? Hey, what did the Packers do? Hey, what did so-and-so? We're thinking about first-round buys and this and that, and now, like, all that's out the window now. But it's okay because, I mean, just purely from a fan standpoint, for a diversion, we can still be entertained, okay? This is a tight division race. Forget what the records are. It's tight. That's the only part that has to matter. But during the Carolina game last week, that's when I first heard the first few notes, "Hello, darkness," because it became very clear, and especially in the second half at Carolina, that the Bucks, as we knew them for this short little burst of time, 2020 and 2021, were dead. Like that version of the Bucks. I don't mean the team's not, you know, the franchise is dead. I just mean the version of the Bucks that we have known these past 2 years that we never had before, and it was glorious and unbelievable, and it's been so much fun. That's over. Like that really is over. Like this is not that team anymore. And so they could still win, but it won't be what we've been used to. And we knew all along that this was all temporary. I mean, in a way, I guess everything's temporary, and we always know that going in. But things are going to be different looking forward here. So, like I said, they're in a division race. Hey, that's great. If I'm Jason Light right now, yeah, you already should be doing this, but I've got one eye or maybe even both eyes on the future. And I'm not saying that the Bucks are going to, like, drop the nuke here and go full-scale rebuild starting tomorrow. They're still in the spot that they started this season in, thinking, hey, it's all about 2022, you know, last dance type of thing. So, hell, at this point, you know, you can still win the division, and who the hell knows after that? But things have changed. Focuses have changed. Long-term outlooks have changed. And so, and there's some good that, hey, I thought Rashad White, you know, his role continues to increase little by little every week. He was a big positive last night. I like him with the ball in his hands, but he also did a good job in pass protection. And so, you know, I would like to keep seeing, not that I'm dumping on Fournette, but as Rashad White, you know, his share of the touches and his share of the responsibility as RB1, as the kids say, increases, and Fournette's, you know, maybe that proportion starts to swing more over the 50% side for Rashad White. Like what I saw from him. Oh, another thing that was good last night, I would try to point out some of the good things. Jalen Darden, as a punt returner, has improved quite a bit this year. And if you give him a little bit of space, I mean, he's got the athleticism. He's not falling down when he sticks his foot in the ground anymore like he used to automatically. And he had a pretty good game, for whatever that's worth. And these are small things, I know. Oh, yeah, Shaq Barrett's probably out for the year. Forgot about that part. Not official. They're testing. By the time you hear this show, because I'm recording this on Friday morning, but by the time you listen to this, maybe there'll be something official. But, you know, I keep thinking about, and I did not go in the, I wasn't credentialed last night. I was there as a fan with a regular ticket, so I didn't go in the locker room or anything after the game. But you've probably heard the reports by now if you read about this stuff or follow Bucks people on Twitter about Tom Brady. You know, he was in the locker room after the game last night in full uniform, full pads, just sitting at his locker for a long time, like long after other guys had changed out of their stuff and walked out, and he was just sitting there. And, you know, who knows what he's thinking. I know he's going through a really tough time right now. You notice I never really get into all the off-field stuff and the personal live stuff. It was just a little while ago sent out by both Brady, and then on Giselle's account, her own account, they both made official announcements that they finalized their divorce today, or in the past few days. And I'm only bringing it up because, one, they said it publicly now, but two, I'm not trying to say I feel sorry for Tom Brady. Even Tom Brady's got things pretty good. But, you know, you got to imagine what he's going through right now. On the field, it's not going very well. He's never been 3-5 before. Really bad loss last night. You know, contemplating how much more of this you have to go. Was it worth it? I have no idea. People always want to speculate, you know, what the reasons are. But, you know, did he come back? Did he cost himself a marriage? All the things people speculate. Who knows if that's what, you don't know that, you know. So don't worry about that. But I know he's probably got a lot going through his mind, given all that stuff going on. And I mean, I would hate to have to go through that, independent of anything football related. But then on top of that, all the football stuff. So, hopefully, if nothing else, you know, at least when they play a Thursday night game, you get like a mini bye, you get the long week. Maybe everybody can just cool out and settle down a little bit. It'll certainly give them a chance to get healthy. And if nothing else, they can come back fresh and get ready for this Rams game. That's a team that does not look terribly formidable. Although the Bucks have not had a lot of success against that franchise in recent years, but it's a chance to right the ship. Every week is, and when you're in the middle of a dogfight in the division, which the Bucks still are, one win can make you feel a lot better. And that's why I always say in these situations, just try to imagine how you'll feel next Monday morning if the Bucks beat the Rams. And it's like, okay, well, you know, that's something. That's not nothing. And maybe things will start feeling better from there. Now, also that comes with a mini bye is a little extra time to evaluate things from a coaching and administrative standpoint. And Todd Bowles, and this was a little bit telling because last week he was asked about the situation with the coaching staff and if he planned to make any changes. This was after the Carolina loss. And he was, I don't want to say defiant, but very dismissive of the idea, saying, we're not making any changes at all. We're going to go back to work. Name your cliche. Just spouted a bunch of cliches, but made it very clear that that wasn't on the agenda. Was asked the same thing after the Ravens game Thursday night and was a little bit more, or I should say less dismissive. Didn't say, oh, yeah, heads are going to roll now. He didn't say that, of course. But he said, well, we're going to evaluate. Like, he didn't say no. And I don't think he's going to, like, relieve Byron Leftwich of his play-calling duties or anything. And I don't think the Glazers are going to relieve Todd Bowles of his head coaching duties or anything. But what you do have right now is a mini-bye, you know, 10 days off. So that's a time to reevaluate some things. Then you've got two games, including a London trip, Germany. So that's more than just another game. Like, that's a whole nobody's going to want to do anything until this Germany thing kind of blows by. Like, they're going to play this Rams game, I think. They're going to go to Germany and play the Seattle game. Then you've got the actual bye week. So you've got a mini bye and then a real bye with two games thrown in there. They only play two games, basically, in the next nearly a month, right? So that's time where things could get decided on. But I don't think, like, Todd Bowles is going to make some. I don't think Byron Leftwich has called his last play for the Bucks or anything like that. And so, you know, how much pressure does Todd Bowles feel? The Glazers, they've surprised me before where they, I mean, all going back to, like, the Dungy move, I didn't really think they were going to do that, and they did it. And then I remember with Gruden, too. Like, remember Gruden won the Super Bowl, of course, then a few mediocre years, but then there was that year where they were 9-2, right? And they lost 5 in a row to close the season to finish 9-7 and miss the playoffs. And I remember how disappointing that was and a lot of frustration, but I did not think that there was a move that was going to be made. And then I remember being completely shocked, like, a few days later after the end of the regular season, they did it. Like, they canned Gruden. It was like, wow. And of course, they had no plan, and they end up saying, hey, Raheem Morris, you want to be defensive coordinator? Cool. And then calling him back, like, a day later, you know what? Just be head coach. And obviously, it didn't go well for several years after that, although I still like Raheem Morris. But my point is, the Glazers have done aggressive things before when I didn't think they were going to be quite that aggressive. So once again, I don't think they're going to do anything right now with Todd Bowles, although I do, as I said at the top of the show, and I'll say it very clearly now, I do not think he is the answer. I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. I don't think this franchise is going to go the direction they want it to with him as head coach. That's not picking on him. There's a lot of people who the franchise isn't going to go the direction you want it to with that person as head coach. But it's about offense, and it's about mentality, and an offensive mentality. And that's, above all, if I was Jason Light, and especially the Glazers, that's what I'd be thinking about the most right now. I wouldn't say anything, of course, but I'd be thinking about and trying to identify. And honestly, and this goes back to the old University of Florida athletic director, Jeremy Foley, who always had, like, a list, he said, in his drawer, maybe not a physical list, but you know, just a list of, like, names who, if you need to go find a head coach right now for whatever reason, maybe you have to fire your guy or maybe your guy leaves for whatever, always have a working list. You could always just go out and start looking for a new head coach and have guys you want to hone in on. Jason Light and the Glazers should have that list. And if they didn't before, I certainly think it's evident that they should have it now. But let's stay positive. EA, if you want to get your thoughts and weigh in on any of this for next week's show, I'll read your emails, or if you want to tweet at me, email is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me @bobbygameday. Same thing, just @bobbygameday. If you want to give me a follow or just tweet at me or whatever you want, go for that. And I'm always available. Next week, we'll still do a show. We'll get back on a regular schedule, getting ready for the Rams game. And hopefully everybody feels a lot better. Take this weekend, and I'm talking about you guys, not even the players now. Take this weekend. There's no Bucks game, right? We already got that out of the way. So just, you know, enjoy watching football for football's sake. It's a big college football weekend, too. The college football season's starting to get really good now. A lot of these games are going to start pitting top 10 teams and undefeated teams against each other and things like that. So I think that season's about to get really good. Of course, if you're a fan of an in-state team, you know, not much going on for you there either this year. But there's that. And then we've got football starting with last night's Bucks-Ravens game. Again, I'm recording this on Friday. There is a football game of some sort on TV every single day for like 28 straight days. I think all the way through the night before Thanksgiving, there's football because they're starting to do those Sun Belt and those MAC conference games that they throw on random Tuesdays and Wednesday. So you're going to have some sort of football on the next month, every day, literally. World Series is starting. You know, just use all these opportunities to clear your mind. Stay positive, okay? Nobody thought the Bucks would be 3-5 right now. If you had told me before the season started the Bucks would be 4-4 right now, or even 5-3, I would have been like, "Ah, really? 5-3? Yeah, I was hoping for 6-2 or 7-1, even with a tough early schedule." If you had told me they'd be 4-4, I would have flipped, let alone 3-5. But of course, these things happen incrementally, and so every passing week you start to get a little bit more, I don't want to say resigned, but maybe you get a little bit more awake to the idea that your team may not be as good as you thought it was. But it could also be better than you think it will be now going forward. Don't discount that aspect of it either. And hey, maybe you're looking to buy a new vehicle or a used pre-owned vehicle. This is a good weekend to do that, right? You can take all Sunday, no Bucks game. No matter what you do, go to BillCurryFord.com first. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, how they spell it, BillCurryFord.com. Check out everything they have there. The completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing. Like I said, cars, trucks, vans, brand new, pre-owned, it's all there. And then after you hone in on a few things, go to the actual physical place where it's been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, Bill Curry Ford. No matter what you do, you get the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You're covered for any engine trouble as long as you own the car. It could be years from now. If you bought it from Bill Curry Ford, you can bring it back in. You do not have to worry. They will take great care of you, and it's something that is, to me, as far as peace of mind goes, you can't beat a deal like that to know you have that support behind you. So go check them out. BillCurryFord.com is the website, or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. That's the free stretch for Week 8, post-game reaction edition for once, and I wish it was better news. But no matter what happens, the sun came up today. You pick yourself up. You get ready. We got another football game next Sunday. Bucks-Rams. Get ready for it. Until then, have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the gorgeous weather we've been having around, at least the Tampa Bay area, or wherever parts you happen to be when you're listening to this show. Thank you to all of you for guys listening. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the Joes from JoeBucksFan.com for giving me the platform, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, or radio, for Bucks coverage. Thanks to them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. We'll be back next week. All right? It's going to be okay. There's more football to be played. And until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. To stay so lonely now.